All right, so Mr. Bean, I've got a situation where I've had a couple of different people ask me what the deal is with the Turning Heel podcast.
Uh-huh.
So let me go ahead and explain. I thought it would be funny to just drop a promo on somebody.
Yeah, because you used some very strong language.
I may have used strong language. And I thought it would be fun to do it without telling them I was going to do it.
Ah.
Which, to me, it was like, hey, we're podcasts. It's the Wild West. Bang, bang. And I believe also one of my responses when I was running the idea by somebody
right.
said, well, what if they get upset? And I said something along the lines of, what are they going to do about it? Which is probably crass.
it's a little...
Inconsiderate, perhaps. So we dropped the promo, released the thing, and then I was like, yeah, that was a bad idea. I shouldn't have done that. And then they came back with a shoot sort of promo on us, and I was like, okay, that's really funny, but there's no meat to it.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to go any further with it. And then I couldn't stop myself from just saying crass things, mentioning that Grizz invents things.
Sure.
I don't remember if in my original promo I said it or not, but I remember at one point I had the line, they both sound like someone knocked their teeth out and they're struggling to keep them in their mouth while they talk.
Sure.
I don't remember if I said that. But
that sounds very familiar.
I know for sure we practiced it, but I don't know if it made the final cut.
Ah.
Hopefully not, because it's really rude. But so that's how that all went. And now we're kind of gone into a full-blown war. So,
which while you might be the heel and I'm the face on this podcast, like I got your back.
Good.
Like I'm allowed to talk shit about you, but they're not allowed to talk shit about you.
Thank God. That's how this works. Let me be completely honest about the whole thing. I have since talked to the guys, and so there are two guys. There's Chris Hughes, who was actually the first. He was how I learned about the podcast. It was just in a, you know, the Lapodle board. I mentioned it once in a while. The last podcast on the left, podcast on the left wrestling page, subgroup of subgroups of subgroups. And that's people who are in the subgroups know what that's all about. But I think Chris Hughes was the one who said, hey, I got a podcast. Take a listen to it. You know, and I'm like, I listened to it and I'm like, hey, this is, there's some cool things going on here, and then there's some shite, and so it'll be funny if I do this promo, which now I'm having to explain to everybody and apologize for because I've said some rude things. They're not dirt farmers. I'm sure they have very respectable gigs. I mean, who am I to talk? I don't even have a job. I'm unemployed technically, so I probably should not talk shit in that way. Referring to Ireland as a muddy little island was probably rude. Shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's a much bigger muddy island than you're giving it credit for.
Thank you. You're going to watch it. What I wanted to say, Chris Hughes is actually a pretty good guy, but Grizz is a total piece of crap, and don't listen to their damn show until he's gone. Thanks.
The following contest scheduled for one fall is for the NXT Championship.
I got the gift of gab and the gift of jab, and I'll put that lazy eye right back to work.
Any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
That's Luke Gallows there on the right, and that's Carl Anderson. Anderson and Gallows are here.
Look at Nia having a little fun, sending a message to the entire women's division.
Delete.
Oh, really? I'm not allowed in your little huddle?
No, sir.
Really? You know what? Big E, you just made the list!
Oh, no. Yes!
Yeah, so I don't have an open, man.
Nothing.
That's why it was. I wanted to make sure you were ready to go.
Yeah, well, if you know somebody hadn't created all the good opens, then maybe we could have come up with something, right?
Grizz.
I
you salty dog.
I am going to come clean with you right off the top here. I was watching Raw Monday night, And somewhere in the first break, I saw the commercial for SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and they said Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin.
Whoop-de-doo.
And I said, I don't need to see that ever. And I totally didn't watch SmackDown at all.
I watched Raw and SmackDown in their entirety, and I could not tell you one thing that happened.
No?
Yeah, it's... I don't know if it's just a bad week or... They seem to be having a hard time getting the stories engaged ever since WrestleMania, and the swapping of the people and the whole gender thing is kind of interesting and kind of not, and very right. controversial. And
I feel like it's we've mentioned this multiple times on this podcast already, but I feel like it's a matter of mitigating expectation,
mm-hmm.
and the expectations become so high. In those first 3 months leading up to WrestleMania between January and March, that the come down is gigantic.
Yeah, but they just haven't been doing anything with it. And they had such opportunities. They're, you know, either choosing not to do faction setups or they're dragging ass on that.
Right.
It appears to be just not on the radar at all, which highly unfortunate. I was just watching some old Kevin Steen Ring of Honor DVDs,
right?
Where he was with Scum, and they had a whole faction thing going. And so I watched basically his entire arc of that, you know, the high spots.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's so much fun.
I'm always interested because a lot of I've got a lot of the ones that the WWE put out, you know, mm-hmm. between 2000 and 2011 or whatever like that of some of my favorites. And I'm always curious if somebody with absolutely no frame of reference, if those DVDs work for, you know, those greatest hits kind of packages actually work for people, for newcomers to wrestling, or if if you watch it and then you think, man, I want to go back and see the whole thing now, or if it's just it doesn't have the emotional impact because I didn't spend week after week watching them build the story.
I think that's the day is past for most people on that. You know, maybe when you were doing the rentals and the VHS stuff,
right,
it would work. But, you know, that was that whole ritual of discovery that the old video stores had that we don't have anymore because it's everything's...
discovering stuff in a social media setting or in a streaming setting is definitely much weirder.
Yeah, I mean, you give everything, 30 seconds and then
you
decide if it's your favorite thing ever or you blow it off.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I run into that a lot with music now. Nowadays, mm-hmm. I'm much much harsher when I hear a new band or something like that. If I don't hear a hook real quick, I'm out the door.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's much trickier, and the level of competition from amateurs has gotten so high.
Absolutely. On one hand, and I think this goes with just about entertainment medium that we talk about.
Ingobernables.
Yes, you've found my the ungovernables de Japan. But in any entertainment medium, you've got, it's easier for anyone to get noticed, but now it's easier for everyone to get noticed.
Yes.
So you're in a sea of people who it's easier for them to get noticed, which makes it almost harder.
Yeah, and it's super tricky because you have to really be able to carny the whole thing. Because people don't necessarily want to see something that they've never seen before. They want to see a combination of things they've seen before in a way that pleases them now.
Yes, in a new version.
Yes.
That makes it feel fresh because, I've never seen it in this order.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I've never had the hamburger in this particular order before. So, I do remember one thing that's, like I said, not so much SmackDown, but on Raw, is that they said Braun Strowman is gone for 6 months.
Yeah, it sounds...
And that's a huge bummer.
Highly unfortunate, man.
Yeah, and it treads that line, too, of kayfabe, of is it really going to be 6 months? Or is it, are you saying 6 months so that when he comes back in, a month, that it's oh my God, he must be inhuman.
Right. Yeah, and there seem to be bouncing reports back and forth on the internet concerning that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to assume 6 months just because I don't want to. I'd much rather be pleasantly surprised than disappointed. And, we're not going to be the first to say this at this point. Grizz was. But how weird is it that we're bummed that we're not going to get to see Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar?
I know. I will always, in the back of my head, I'll always be you remember... like 6 to 9 months ago, Braun Strowman was the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Every time you'd hear his music start, you'd be like, oh, here we go.
It was he and the Lone Wolf, these two giant ogres.
Yeah.
That you were really more concerned were going to hurt somebody because they were so green.
Yeah.
Than hurt somebody because they were mean heels.
Right.
And one of them became Braun Strowman, and one of them remained
the Lone Wolf.
The Lone Wolf, yeah. Although that's unfair, I do think he's improving. It's just when you have somebody to compare to,
yeah,
you know, that's it's like Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns may be on a perfectly acceptable trajectory,
right?
But when you compare him to Dean Ambrose
or Seth Rollins, matter, right?
You're like, oh yeah, this piece of wood is still a piece of wood,
right? Yeah,
oh, awesome.
You must obviously be the weak link because out of the three, you're the one I'm the least interested to see, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It cracked me up too on Monday night. They were touting your main events were Roman and Finn,
mm-hmm.
and also Seth and Bray Wyatt. And they were like, "It's the first time you're seeing the Eater of Worlds and the Kingslayer against each other." And I'm like, "No, I'm pretty sure that happened. There was a feud between the Wyatt family and the Shield very briefly, leading into a WrestleMania where they fought like the New Age Outlaws and Kane or whatever. The Shield fought New Age Outlaws and Kane. It was kind of a blow off. But like towards the end of the Shield run, there was I clearly remember the Wyatts facing the Shield, and that had to have happened on a Raw or a SmackDown.
I'll be damned. Yeah, I wasn't around for the Shield days, so
right.
That's one of the big holes in my game, and perhaps I should go back. I don't care enough about the Shield in my head to do it.
Yeah, it was one of those things for the longest time, they would just show up and kind of NWO people, like they, you know, a match would be going good and then the Shield guys would come through the crowd and triple powerbomb a guy into a table and get CM Punk disqualified or something. And you're like, God damn it!
I vaguely remember being at it was probably the first one I came to, so whatever year that would have been, but. You were having WrestleManias at your house.
Yeah.
And I think I remember being there and saying, who the hell are those clowns?
Right.
And then you had to explain. These are the three guys that just every once in a while come out and,
beat people up.
Yeah. And I don't remember, you know, if they were over with you at the time or not. I was not in a position to be wowed by wrestling. I was still in a real shitty attitude about it.
Well, and it was like WrestleMania is a lot like the Super Bowl in that sometimes it can be just about the spectacle and the camaraderie.
Very good time.
Right, we're all just going to get together and hang out and watch this, you know, passion play on TV and you know, just talk while it's going on and every now and again see a real good high spot and be like, oh, that was cool, that guy fell off a thing.
Yeah, but I was definitely the jerk, and I don't remember acting out in a particular fashion, but I seem to recall the first year, it might have been the year that Undertaker faced CM Punk.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Which, yeah. Man, what a match. What a match. I still, like, it bears a resemblance to watching Finn Balor and Roman Reigns. Like, Finn is a cruiserweight that just happens to be in the heavyweight division. Kind of like Kalisto.
I was thinking, man.
Because he is so small in comparison to so many of those people.
If they would have waited a year on Finn and brought him in the 205 division, what a...
Oh, yeah.
What a horrible disappointment that would be.
Right.
I mean, for Finn fans at least. I mean, I'm, you know, a huge Finn Balor mark, so...
Yeah.
The idea that he would be... this just, again, shows how the 205 just isn't clicking yet. I still definitely think of the 205, like, that would be a huge...
Right.
...demotion for him to be in the 205.
And that's the thing that stuck with me the most over the week is not so much what happened on the shows, but what happened behind the scenes and on Twitter and on, you know, on the internet or something like that. I saw a report that, like, hey, a major superstar is coming back to Raw. And I look and it was Rich Swann. And I didn't even realize he was gone. But apparently he had some kind of, like, ankle problems or something and, you know, spent a couple weeks nursing it back to health. And he's back. I'm like, oh, well, okay, good for you, Rich. Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, no ill will. Rich Swann's a great performer, actually.
I don't see anybody on 205 that I would say is not, you know, a competent performer.
No, they're all really good. And yet today I watched old ROH Kevin Steen DVDs instead of watching 205. I'm probably cut yeah. my own throat with that one. I think I got it. I'm going to jump on it. I have been jumped on NXT since the WrestleMania. I'm going to get on 205 as well.
Well, that's the thing, too. I think between the both of us, we did get to go and see Ring of Honor last week. And that I think that sets our expectations at a different level when it comes to the in-ring work of stuff.
Yeah, probably still coming off a little bit of a high of that experience. It was, yeah, that was a very, very good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably correct on that. And I'm going to see another indie show this weekend.
Nice.
The Evolve.
Yeah.
Evolve.
Yeah, that's going to be good stuff.
So.
I do also remember that the first women's match on Monday Night Raw was Sasha Banks, who I love, and Alicia Fox, who I also love. So it was like two of the girls I really like. I was excited that Alicia Fox was wrestling instead of just being arm candy.
They put on a hell of a match.
And I thought they did, you know, that was an acceptable match. It was not like a barn burner or anything like that, but I saw some spots in there I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And Alicia Fox got to win a match.
Yeah, that was...
I was like, all right, great.
Novel.
Yeah. I think part of the reason I love Alicia Fox is because she does the Northern Lights suplex. And I'm just a big fan of suplexes in general. But Northern Lights is particularly one you don't see very often.
I think she's a lot of fun. She's fast. She's got a fun moveset. I always wonder why she doesn't get more of a push.
Right. I don't... Maybe she just... she doesn't like getting banged around.
I don't know the history. So when I came in, the Four Horsewomen were sort of developing in NXT. So I followed that all the way up. And so the women that were already there, I just sort of think of as like, well, they did something in the Divas world.
Right. It's real interesting, too. I listened to Chris Jericho's podcast with Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. As soon as I saw he had Alexa Bliss, I was like, well, I gotta listen to that one. Gotta hear that. And it was really, like all of the Jericho podcasts, like if you go through, you find him on YouTube or find him on his page or whatever like that, you just go through the guest list and you find a wrestler that you're already kind of interested in. And then an hour later, like, you know so much about them and you're just like, I love this person.
Yeah, Jericho is excellent at that.
Yeah,
probably because he's been on both sides of that mic.
Right, just drawing it out.
Yes, no, he is very, very good. I really loved his interview with Nakamura specifically.
Yeah, but, that was great stuff.
AJ Styles, when he first came in, was really good. He does fun stuff with KO and Sammy.
Yeah. He had Sammy and Neville on for like a two-hour show where they were just talking about music.
Yes.
Different music they listened to on the bus and stuff.
Yes.
I think he had one with like the... Oh, it was with Roman. Because he was talking about Roman and the Usos and hanging out with them
on
one of the overseas tours.
Yes, yes.
Even that one was like, you know, it's still, you're listening to, Roman Reigns doesn't have a big personality.
No.
He's got a great look, but he doesn't have a very big personality, even when he's, you know, got his guard down and he's just like being him.
Yes, I thought it was really good to listen to because it is, I think, important to humanize the guy, the human.
Yes.
But yes, it also wasn't where you thought, you know, listen to the Roman Reigns interview. It's going to change your... Like,
No, not at all. And apparently this week he had Jinder Mahal on, so...
Yes, I haven't listened to it yet.
No, I haven't either.
I haven't listened to Alexa either, but I do have them both queued up. I've had to listen through this garbage from the Turning Heel podcast because opened Pandora's box. But
right.
So it takes time.
You got to know your enemy. That's basically what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta see exactly how low you're gonna have to punch, you know, to
bunt, punch, knee. Hey. Ruby. Ruby. So you into NXT TakeOver?
I'm excited. I was going to bring up a couple minutes ago that like it's a huge weekend for wrestling and there's no reason for it.
Right.
It's a huge weekend to like just sit and watch the network between Backlash and then there's the NXT TakeOver is this Saturday. And then I guess they're doing some kind of thing with the European title and some kind of special on Friday night too, which is nuts.
That's cool. Gives me something to do.
Yeah. But I do want to, I want to see friggin' Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Nikki Cross.
Hell yes.
Because that's, even without Ember Moon, that match is going to be so good.
Yeah, man, it's such a bummer that Ember got hurt, but it's still going to be a great match. Man, I don't know where to, Nikki Cross is on fire. Her promos have been amazing. She's such a standout from All Sanity.
I've missed the last couple of weeks. I just know kind of basically what the card is leading into TakeOver, and I'm interested in that. But I've missed the last couple of weeks. She's been knocking it out of the park, as you say.
Yeah, crushing it. And then Asuka, I mean, I'm a complete Asuka mark.
Yeah.
So I'm beside myself with the whole thing. I have no ill will towards Ruby Riott, but she's still very new to me.
Yeah.
And she's got two opponents that are both way over with me.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's tricky.
Yeah, for sure. But no, it's going to be seeing the Team DIY against the Authors of Pain in a ladder match. Seeing those big guys lumber up some ladders is going to be interesting.
And DIY will make anybody look good.
Yeah.
It's going to be an excellent match because they're such incredible workers. So
yeah, for sure.
That's great. Yep.
And then you've got Hideo Itami and the champ.
I am very excited about the return of Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Does he survive? And I say it kind of crass, but also, like, seriously, I'd love to see a good run out of Hideo, but it seems as though he's been injured almost the entire time he's been in NXT.
I feel like he's in a similar position that, like, Finn Balor is, and that, you know, how many times can we give you the ball and then watch you drop because of injury?
Yeah.
Before we just stop giving you the ball.
Yeah, it's tricky, man.
But I agree. I want to, you know, he's the guy CM Punk stole the GTS from.
Right, right.
So I'm interested to see that guy, the originator, I guess. I'm sure somebody else, maybe Grizz, created it before
Hideo
Itami. But that always derails us every time. Damn it.
That's because you feel guilty when you say things like that.
I do.
I should just be the one that I'll make sure to jump in.
I need to leave the mean shit to you.
Oh, stupid Grizz. Yeah, so it's a good card.
You know what? Even as much as kind of, you know, this week we're kind of shitting on SmackDown. It's Payback is a or Backlash, Payback, whatever's happening on Sunday. Yeah. It's a bunch of matches that have the potential to be really good matches. They just don't have the build that we have gotten, you know, over the last 3 or 4 months with some of the
Kevin
other stuff.
Kevin Owens against AJ Styles.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, that match should be 5 stars. Should be 6 stars.
And hopefully will be, regardless of the, they're repositioning AJ as a face, it appears.
Yeah.
And so it's just sort of a tricky situation to be in.
I think they understand that no matter what AJ Styles does, we're going to cheer him.
Right,
just
right.
Kinda.
Yep, and you know, the heel stables are so good right now. Yeah, let them do it. You know, gives them every opportunity to then turn to join whatever Bullet Club makes its way into the WWE.
Well, yeah, that was the thing that we were tweeting back and forth during Monday Night Raw. And they announced that Golden Truth was going to fight the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah.
The club. And I'm like, wait a minute, they both lose. I looked at my girlfriend and I'm like, it's like that joke about if you take a piece of toast and you put butter on it, well, if you drop it, it's going to face down. It's mm-hmm. going to, it always going to land face down. But if you drop a cat, it's always going to land on its feet. So if you take the toast and then you tape it to the cat and then you drop them, they just turn into this perpetual motion machine.
Oh my Lord.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait a minute. It's like a bit like neither one. They're both going to, you know, lay down and have their shoulders to the mat, but there's going to be nobody to pin them.
Yeah, well, we didn't see they had thought of that with the one time the bookers came through.
Yeah.
And
we get an evil gold dust
turns on R-Truth, man. It was brutal. I was bummed.
Yeah.
I had actually, to be completely honest, it had never occurred to me that that was even a possibility, only because they both have been relegated to such jobber status.
Right.
I really thought they were just riding out their careers. Like,
right. Like
why bother? Like, what's a storyline? What's a storyline to Goldust and R-Truth?
Right, and there was a report somewhere over the last week that the first like actual game show that they're going to do on the WWE Network is going to be hosted by R-Truth.
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay, well, that's
interesting.
You know, right, like it never occurred to me that they'll have to write him off TV to do it because, like, it's the Golden Truth. Like, whatever. They're, you know, the bottom of the barrel in a stacked Raw tag team roster anyways.
Oh, okay. So I'm putting all the details together and I'm understanding what's going on. And it's even weirder. Yeah, so now we have Evil Goldust running roughshod. Maybe he's just going to jump right into Braun Strowman's spot?
I don't know. It's been a long time since we've seen an Evil Goldust.
He's just going to squash Roman Reigns and demand...
Yes.
Demand the fight with Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, yeah. Goldust can get squashed at Great Balls of Fire.
He would probably die. Have you seen how light they do their... he does that shoulder check in the middle, off the ropes. And right. It's like they don't even make contact anymore.
Barely tags him.
It's pretty unfortunate.
I don't know if you did. Once again, this is one of those things where, you've not been watching for quite as long as I have, but forever Goldust's finisher was he would prop the guy up in the corner and then he would separate his legs and they would kick the turnbuckle where his junk was.
Nice.
His
finisher was a dick kick?
It was.
Okay. I'm all for that. And you could work your way all the way up to Lesnar with that technique.
Right, right. I think at the time when he was doing that, he had his manager would distract them so he wouldn't get disqualified for, the dick kick.
Yeah.
Like Deaner did.
It is technically against the rules. Like holding a belt for more than 30 days without having
absolutely.
To drop it.
Absolutely. But when we went to see Ring of Honor last week, I think it was Ospreay did that to Cody.
Yes.
Set him up in the corner. So it was a little bit of psychology, kind of a and Will was at it again over the weekend.
Diving?
Yeah, a little bit of dive.
A little flippity flop.
Of course, referring to Randy Orton getting saucy on Twitter.
And this could all be just a huge work, but I don't like Randy to begin with, and I'm constantly trying to like him more.
I know.
I did watch that special where he was with his current girlfriend, and he had found love again, and it was all very sincere, and I'm not going to knock her around, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to like you, Randy. But he's a perpetual criminal.
He burned down
he's
a man's house.
He's a arsonist right on video.
And then,
now he's talking shit about indie wrestlers?
Right.
Get the fuck out, Randy Orton.
Bully Ray is just showing a really cool, hey, check this out. I can hang with these young kids. I can, do suicide dives or I can jump off the top rope and they'll catch me and everybody has a good time, Chance ECW, and it's a good time. And Mr. Randall Orton, who's been handed everything because he's a third generation athlete.
What?
His 13 world heavyweight championships, burns a man's house down and still gets a championship match.
He wants to. He's just bitching about how there's too much diving in independent wrestling because clearly what it needs is headlocks and RKOs.
Well, and he even got backed up by Rip Rogers, who's an old-time wrestler that, made a post along with it. It was every indie match now is, he just lists off all this stuff. It's this is awesome chance, strike exchange, dive, no sell indie strong style, dive, more strikes, no sells, dive, flippity-floppy sequence. I'm okay, but... we're enjoying that.
That all sounds like fucking fun to me.
Yeah, that sounds like a match I want to see.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like there are about five moves in that list that Randy Orton wouldn't even deign himself to try.
Right. But it does crack me up that, ellipses dive, dive is now become a thing.
Yes, lots of fun. It was fun to see. Him going back and forth with Bubba Ray was actually pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's the difference between a young, hungry athlete diving onto their opponent and a fat old man dropping off a turnbuckle or some such. It was pretty good. It makes me think that it's all just a big work.
Yeah, well,
no,
you would hope.
The internet could get worse. What? No. You would know. Fuck you, Randy Orton.
I did have that moment. As a fan, I did have the moment. I was like, man, fuck him.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I think that pretty much led to my, even there was a Fashion Files segment, and I had to look it up on the website because I wanted to see it. But I was like,
dun, dun.
I'm not going to watch SmackDown because A, Shinsuke Nakamura is not going to fight anybody until the pay-per-view. I don't need another week of Dolph Ziggler talking shit about Shinsuke when he's going to kick his face off in 3 days. Like, whatever. Get out of here. And like I said, Randy Orton and Baron Corbin fighting each other? I don't need to see that. Followed by, AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal. Like, sorry, Jinder's not over with me yet. AJ's going to put him over, and I'm not going to be happy with it. So you know what? I'll go watch something that I'll enjoy. I'll watch the Finn Balor 24 special, which would be super fun. I'll watch him put together Legos and talk about his... talk about his injury. Talk about getting better.
what a great life. Like Seth Rollins throws you into a wall. You spend the next 6 months building Legos.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you're the godfather of the Bullet Club.
That's true. It's very true.
Calling hits on Michael Cole's career. Not Michael Cole. God damn it. Adam Cole.
Adam Cole.
Damn it, Cole.
Damn it, Cole. It's Adam Cole, baby!
Damn, Maggle.
So what do you feel? Are you more excited for NXT or are you more excited for Backlash?
To be honest, I think I'm going to enjoy all of it. Yeah. I'm not generally excited because again, the stories have not been pulling me along. To me, it's about the storytelling.
Yes.
But I still think that enough of the matches are interesting and. You know, they're starting to face record low ratings if reports are to be believed. And so something big is going to have to pop. They're going to have to pop one of these corks. They can't just keep meandering. You imagine. I don't know what the booking people are doing, but none of the stories right now, other than Braun Roman, was the only story that really had my attention.
Yeah.
I'm always going to love whatever KO's doing, so his run as the U.S. title holder is going to be a blast. I'm never going to miss it. You know, there's enough talent. I'm into all of it, but something, like, there's nothing meaty for me to tell somebody, you know, maybe who's popped into this podcast for the first time this week and say, you should watch this because it's so cool. It was the Braun Roman program, and now that's shot for 6 months.
Now that's gone from us.
So
I am interested to see. Like, I like the idea of that Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules.
Right.
I like the idea of even a Fatal 4-Way is cool, but those particular five wrestlers putting on that kind of show, so that one of them can inevitably get squashed by Brock Lesnar.
Hopefully not. I mean, I guess that's the word on the street, eh?
Yeah.
He's going to hold it all year. I don't follow the dirt sheet stuff.
Looking at those five guys, I'm like, okay, I don't want to see Finn versus Brock Lesnar because Brock's not going to put him over. I don't think I want to see Seth against Brock Lesnar because he's significantly smaller. He'll put on a great match. But, you know, I look at Finn Balor, and I'm like, Brock's not going to take any of his moves. He's going to no-sell every single thing Finn does to him.
Yeah, no, that's
not good. And that's not going to be fun at all.
There's nothing fun about that at all.
I've seen Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I'm not interested.
I kind of would like to see that again because I think that you have to get into a pseudo shoot fight with Lesnar, and I would like to see if they clash.
Yeah.
Like if they really, you know, put the boots to each other terms of making it look real.
I feel if I have to see one of those five guys lose to Brock Lesnar, I'd like to see the match I haven't seen yet, and that's Bray. I would like to see a Bray Wyatt Brock Lesnar match.
I'm not sure what to make of that. That would be interesting.
I would see, but the problem with that is in my head, every single one of these guys, as I run through the thing, I see them like I see a match. I don't see a squash.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, I think no matter who makes it out of that Fatal 5-Way, you're walking into a squash. You're walking into Brock Lesnar, German suplexing you 16 times, F5ing you, and then going home.
I think if I'm Bray, I go into it and I just use like maybe 20% of my effort in helping those suplexes and F5s along. So that,
right.
So that if what am I? Fucking Bray Wyatt. When he gets buried again.
Right.
By that last F5, you know, those little twiggy legs of Brock Lesnar start to twitch and he just crumbles under basically the Kane loaf, which is one of my favorite moves of yesteryear where, you know, Kane would get hefted onto someone's shoulder and then just squash them under the weight of his loafdom.
Oh, yes.
So,
Mark Henry used to be good at that, too.
Yeah. So, Kane loaf them and then take the pin.
Yep.
Just take it.
Just
grab that brass ring, Bray. We're going to shit on you from now until the end of time. Don't take it. Don't take it.
Right. And, you know, going back to Randy Orton, I mean, you know, we could, you can dive or you can House of Horrors match. I mean,
ooh,
this,
yeah,
know,
that was
this.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The House of Horrors, I did not dig it.
No. No, it was not. I have to say, I go back to what you said before. As like somebody who enjoys watching horror movies now. Like, I don't half-ass it. If you half-ass it, then I'm not interested.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, that stupid set designer, that just sucked. You needed to have Aleister Black doing the set design because it would have been real creepy and real dark.
It's interesting you bring up Aleister Black.
Oh, yes.
Did you read at all that he showed up at some of the live events last weekend?
I heard rumors that he may be on the fast track.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
That would be pretty, not so much unprecedented, but it would be pretty pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he really hasn't had a match to speak of in...
Yeah.
His appearance at the... actually, no, I take that back. His appearance at the last... Takeover
right.
Was really, since they brought him back, and he was just been, you know, kicking the crap out of people, and it's
right.
Been essentially varying degrees of squash match, though.
Yeah.
To see him go right to...
I would have to imagine he's got a match Saturday at Takeover.
I don't recall.
No, well, and that's kind of the fun of the Takeovers, is not knowing the whole card, and then kind of getting a match on the fly. Like when, like they know they're gonna do the match, but we don't,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've very rarely have they done that, but as much as the entire wrestling, internet wrestling community will more than likely shit all over ECW December to Dismember,
okay,
which was supposed to be like one of the worst things that when they brought the ECW brand back and tried to make it its own thing on Tuesday nights, and then they tried to give it its own pay per view. Outside of ECW's one night stand, it was the last pay-per-view of the year called December to Dismember, and they told us two matches that were going to be at it, and that was it.
Okay.
And then the entire rest of the card was just like, bang, here you go, it was a match. Bang, here you go, it was a new match kind of thing. It was all, I mean, none of it, it wasn't a matter of there wasn't any build to these matches. These were feuds that were going on the show. It's just a matter of, you know, instead of it being this person versus this person, well, let's make it a tag match. Or, you know, let's make it a triple threat and put this extra thing in here kind of thing. And they just, you didn't know what was coming. It was like going to see, you know, an indie show or something like that. Like, you don't completely know what the card's going to be
sometimes. Right.
So it's just a matter of, like, you hear the music and it's like, hey, that's the guy I like. I wonder who he's about to fight kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, that's the guy. I wonder who's going to kick his ass.
You said it did not end up working?
No. People absolutely hated it. I don't think it was simply because of that. I think the results, the two matches they announced, the one that opened the show was the Hardy Boys against, it was J&J Security, the one guy in J&J Security. Not Jamie Noble, but the other one.
It's escaping me. I was only going to say Jamie Noble.
No, it's the other, Joey Mercury.
Joey Mercury, yes,
Joey Mercury and the guy who's in... Lucha Underground right now. Johnny Mundo.
Ah, yes.
They were a tag team called M&M. So it was the two of them against the Hardys in a ladder match, and they tore the house down, and it was a great match. And then the final match was an extreme elimination chamber.
Okay.
For the ECW title, which Big Show at the time was currently holding. And it was Test, who nobody ever... Test was never anything, really.
okay.
Hardcore Holly, another kind of kind of guy.
Yeah.
CM Punk was in the match. It was in CM Punk's first year, and Bobby Lashley was in that match, and I remember there was one other new guy, I think, that was in that match, and it was basically put together to put over Bobby Lashley, to make Bobby Lashley look strong.
Oh.
And at the time, like, even, like I said, it's in CM Punk's first year, but even at that point, like, everyone knows CM Punk from Ring of Honor, and everyone's chanting CM Punk every time he's in the arena kind of thing.
Oh, so it was a situation where CM Punk clearly was who everyone wanted, but they were...
Yes.
It was the one of the early Vince versus the internet agendas.
Yeah, pretty much.
Versus the mob, as it were.
Yeah. And that's, if I recall correctly, that was the last time you saw Paul Heyman on TV until he came back with Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Because I've heard Paul Heyman talk about this before, and if I'm remembering the story correctly, even he was like, look, no offense to Big Show, but if if you're, or no offense to Bobby Lashley, but if CM Punk does not walk out of here with the title tonight, you're making a huge mistake, and I don't want my name on this.
Oh, wow.
Kind of thing.
Very intriguing.
Yeah.
I don't hear people chanting Bobby Lashley's name when Vince McMahon comes out in Chicago.
Not so much. It's he's working in the Impact Arena right now, and he's a very strong, very agile kind of guy, but doesn't have a whole lot of personality. Kind of sucks the life out of the room when you put a microphone in his hand.
Geez. That's rough.
Yeah.
Working for Impact. Rough.
I tell you all the time. I don't know how many times I've said it on this show, but I'll watch Impact. I started watching when the Hardys their broken run in Impact, and there's always like at least two people in Impact that I'm like, man, I wish those guys were someplace else. But Impact's like a 2-hour show that needs to be about 15 minutes long. Like now, the only reason I watch Impact is for the women's segments. They've got some. They've got Rosemary, who I love, who's got like she's got this face paint and stuff. She was part of the faction that feuded with the Hardys. It was called Decay, okay. And she spits. She does the thing Tajiri does, where she spits the mist.
I like that,
which is always fun. Yeah, and she delivers really good promo. She walks like a kind of like a broken jarred like animatronic or something like that. Wow. When she comes to the ring, it's really cool. Yeah, she used to come out to like Marilyn Manson and stuff.
Fun gimmick.
And then they there's another girl. I was actually telling you off mic about this before we came on, but there's a Laurel Van Ness, who was originally like this mean girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this whole wedding angle with this this other girl that they were being mean to, her and Maria Kanellis and a whole bunch of other girls. The dude left her at the altar, Laurel Van Ness at the altar for the girl that was nice. And for the next like 2 weeks, you would see her in the background just drinking out of a wine bottle, still wearing her wedding dress. And she wrestled a match last week in the wedding dress and bare feet and like makeup's running down her face. And she was just insane. She was just like whapping the girl's head against the mat and trying to bite the referee and just screaming and looking around at the lights. And it was entertaining as hell. Now they call her the Hot Mess Laurel Van Ness, which is pretty good gimmick.
It's strong.
Yeah,
it sounds like a good gimmick. And I'm all about barefoot wrestling. I think that's badass. I loved fucking Rusev when he was barefoot. Rusev, never been the same since he put the shoes on.
Right. You're asking for a broken toe, man.
That's just something
wrestling.
Yeah, something about about the willingness to stub.
Yeah,
that like puts you over way more than anything else that you can
that's
do.
That's tough. Yeah, that's like, tough. I also like that whenever you fight a barefoot wrestler, there's always that spot you can pull where they get you in a lock, a headlock, or something like that, and you can just stomp on their foot.
Yeah,
they have to sell it because they're bare feet.
I don't know. I just think something about super kicks, especially, just seem cooler when you're smacking them with
your barefoot.
It's like bone on bone.
There needs to be a guy that Cowboy Bob Orton used to wear the cast.
Yes.
And they were always like, that's a weapon. Like you say about Roman Reigns, he's got the vest.
Yes.
That's a weapon. There needs to be a guy that has like a metal plate in his boot and super kicks people.
Nice.
And then like they don't know, but then you see him backstage putting it in there.
There was a there was a kicker in the NFL that beat the Detroit Lions legendarily in the early 80s, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
And he had half a foot, and so the complaint from the Detroit fans was that he had a juiced shoe.
He had like a secondary, like a wooden half.
Yes,
he'd put it in the shoe. Yeah, he'd like weigh it down.
Yeah, like something was not right about it, and there are people who to this day will claim that it was a screw job because this crippled man was actually cheating. Was the argument that was being made, not the argument that I am making.
Right,
I'm simply relaying the information.
Right, you don't believe this argument.
I don't have a dog in this pony show. All right. Well, we just kind of came to it.
I don't. Yeah.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Oh, you've been practicing.
Oh, yes I have. Yeah, I posted on the social media that I was, because I was invited to watch the Ring of Honor pay-per-view at Good Brothers' house over at the Bullet Club house.
Yeah, but
I was like, well, I fucked up entirely, man. Okay, so it was like 8:30 and I dragged ass. I knew I was supposed to be there earlier, and so 8:30 rolled around and I'm like, well, crap, by the time I do the half hour drive, I'm gonna miss a big chunk of it, because the pay-per-views says it's going from 8 and, well, I didn't check the internet. I just checked the pay-per-view thing. So I ordered it, paused it, ran to the store and got myself my little, I don't know, whatever I had, some soda pop or some crap.
Sure.
And came back and started playing it, and it was still pregame. Didn't even start till 9.
Oh, Jesus.
So I didn't have to order the damn thing, pay $45. Yeah, concern it. But
I'm sure Ring of Honor appreciates it, though.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. And actually, it was a great event.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun watching
it. I saw a picture. The villain joined the club?
Yes, yes. Oh, but to finish my story right quick, I posted on social media that I was specific after last week when I kept saying Los Ingo blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I wasn't trying to make a bit out of it. I eventually made a bit out of how embarrassing it was that I couldn't say the word. But I said I'm going to watch this by myself so I can practice saying it out loud. And this is what my practice, Los Ingobernables. They are born.
Well done. Well done. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, it was a great event. Yes, the villain. It was funny because we had the big tag team title match, and I'm watching, you know, the Bucks and everything, and hey, this the winners, and yay, there's belts.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a really good event.
And it never occurred to you there was another match?
Yeah, and another match came on, and I was like, well, these are big names. Like, why would these guys be in the preliminaries? Like, the thing must have ran, and yeah, no, this is nowhere near the end of the event. Just because it's the Young Bucks doesn't mean it's the end of the show.
Yeah, you expect the Bucks are ending the show.
it was great. It would have been a great cap off to the show, but there were still several other matches, yes. And so it took me, actually, like, by the time I realized what was going on, my weed-addled brain was so disconnected from the world that I was really having a hard time at that point. But yes, and then the villain comes out, and he whips out that sweet-ass umbrella with the Bullet Club all over it. And I'm like, this is a thing that needed to happen.
Right.
Yes, very excited about all that.
I realized I could just look it up on the internet, and I didn't. But did Adam Cole fight?
Yes, he got his curtain call. Yeah, they that was actually where the villain joined in, is Adam Cole, after his match, you know, the Bucks came out, gave him the curtain call, and then gave him the old Bullet Club goodbye,
which
in this case was bringing his replacement in on the spot and giving him an ass whooping.
Oh, no!
It was strong. It was strong. Oh, man. The villains, Marty Skrull. His entrance music is great.
It's pretty hilarious. It was hilarious to see it last week in Dearborn.
Yes. Because
we live in the heart of ICP country. What?
Whoop, whoop.
So every time the whoop, whoop would happen. Whoop, whoop. Yeah.
Yes, I do believe that while his song was going, that I was doing a rendition of
some ICP.
Wicked voodoo magic.
That was it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I could hear you guys in the background. Like, that's some ICP song.
I don't know the title, to be honest with you. I can tell you what album it's on, and I can tell you every word. But I keep meaning to sit down and see if I can do a squash of his music
with some
ICP over it, yeah,
right,
with a song or all of them. Just make a 45 hour video of just a loop of his music with every ICP song dropped over.
That stuff exists on YouTube, man.
I watched the Trollowol guy go for 12 hours straight.
There's 7 hours of.
No.
I need 7 hours of that.
All right, Mr. Bean, we're just talking nonsense now. Where can people find you?
Oh, I'm on the Twitter at Chizuck Bean, CHZUCK Bean. Also, we're on the Facebooks at the at Mr. Bean Wrestles.
Yeah, Mr. Bean Wrestles. I'm at Shawnee Constant, SHONNYCONSTANT on Twitter. And yes, One Fall Show has got a page and also a group. Probably, I think I said last week that it's probably called The Crew, but then I don't think it's actually called The Crew, so it's called something else. But One Fall Show, we have a group. You know, the groups are more fun to me because you get to interact with other people who are listening.
For sure.
But the page is just the thing that people seem to like to go to. So for people who would like to be hands-off, I try to do both. And do you want us to push people to listen to Nerd Radio?
I mean, if you want.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, if you want. We do talk about wrestling very frequently.
Yeah,
so.
It's always been this weird thing.
Because right.
Crossing the streams of, but
yeah.
Yeah, you have a podcast.
I do a podcast for a radio station here in town called WRAF, called Nerd Radio, on Riff 2. It's on our HD2 station Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Or you can just go to the website, WRAF.com, and download the podcast. It's we talk about comic books and video games, and we talk about WWE wrestling. I got another crew over there
nice.
Where we talk about that kind of stuff.
Awesome. So, yeah, check that out. What was the website again?
WRIF.com.
Awesome. Nerd Radio on Riff 2. Cool beans, man.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
We'll come back next week. We'll have plenty to talk about after this weekend.
Yes. I think that we're both going to get rejuvenated. There's been sort of a wavelength where I'm usually up and then down and up and then down, and you're usually very consistent. Every once in a while, I think, like anybody who's doing the same thing over again, it makes sense that you would be down. So
sure.
When those both coordinate, we're both down. The next week almost always is like, we're just
we're
wrestling.
Super jazzed.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling you. I think that's going to happen as well. And then I've got, hopefully we'll have some cool stuff to report back from Evolve. There are a couple of guys who I have an eye on going in, but a lot of names that I don't recognize at all. So
sweet.
I'm looking forward to talking about that too.
Take and, notes.
We will finally introduce, we will mention the shadowy figure that has been listening to our podcast since day one, who I will refer to as King Mob. He was the leader of the Invisibles, as I believe you know.
I had no idea we had Illuminati references there, other than talking about the Ascension.
Yeah. He's been feeding me some names to take a look for and was really excited for me to get to see this event live. So, yes, that we'll be reporting back on that.
Sweet.
Too sweet. All right.
Bingo bongo.
Have fun, everybody. Stay safe and don't fall in the hole.